Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The critically acclaimed mystery thriller Sugar Paper by Tootsie Barron is Kiki Gallo-Sipo's journey as she goes from A to Z, moving toward her inescapable destiny. She starts out a naive girly girl, becomes something known as the legend and the most stand-up lady in the state of New Jersey. Now, both those titles given to her by the godfather of the largest and most powerful mob family in New Jersey. The book is not for the faint of heart, graphic when it needs to be, gets downright raunchy when necessary. Fasten your seatbelt, this ride's about to get bumpy. Tootsie was born in New Jersey, Jersey City, New Jersey. Also lived in Arizona and Florida before moving back to New Jersey. A widowed mother of two grown children, lives in a world of silence and her words after a beloved Papillon wise guy crossed the Rainbow Bridge. For the record, Tootsie firmly believes in fairies, magic wands, and fairy dust. Her words of wisdom that she wants to share with her readers, as always, I wish you all that heaven allows. And Tootsie Barron, author of Sugar Paper, our guest on This Week in America. Tootsie, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Well, it's so nice to be here. I'm sure we're going to have an enjoyable time.
We are going to, and I tell you, this book, on so many levels, it's a great escape. It's a great read. It takes us what I believe is into like the real world of the mafia back in this period. Let's start, first of all, with the inspiration. Where did this idea come from to write Sugar Paper?
Well, you might say it was my destiny. I was born and raised in Jersey City, in an area where many of the young men that I grew up with ultimately became wise guys, and in one capacity or another. And what a lot of people don't realize that the biggest, largest portion of the mob's money back in those days was in a sports betting. Bookmaking.
Oh, yes.
It's a multi-billion dollar a year business. And that's going back before they ever put it, you know, with the exception of Las Vegas. And it wasn't in the casinos then. And there were betting parlors there, but not in the, then they moved it inside the casinos. And that's long before we ever had the first casino here in Atlantic City. I live right outside of Atlantic City. And that was in resorts. Now there's sports books all over the place, but I still hear a whisper here and there that bookies are alive and kicking. They're still in business.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because you can gamble just about anywhere. You're watching television, sports on television, and the odds change as various aspects you can bet on as you're watching the event unfold before you. But it's interesting that bookmaking still thrives on that level, at least. Is this based on realistic circumstances as we read Sugar Paper? Is this sort of giving us a realistic look at what was going on during that period?
Oh, absolutely. And the other thing is, I'm the only, to my knowledge, the only woman on the planet that ever takes you right inside that world. It's never been done by a woman. So, It's unique in that aspect, but if you dive into the world of sports betting, when I get to that part, it is accurate. There's no doubt about it.
The book we're talking about,
it's a work of fiction, but the parts that need to be accurate are accurate.
Now, and, it's fascinating.
You know, it should be.
Well, yes, and you bring that world to life. The book is Sugar Paper. Tootsie Barron is the author and our guest. That's Tootsie, and Barron is Barron. Her website is tootsiebarron.com. You'll find the book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. Link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Best information you'll find at Tootsie's website. You can keep up with her, find out a little bit more about Tootsie, the book, and order it there as well. This is the Kiki, as I mentioned in the beginning. Talk about her. Tell us who she is, and could there really have been a Kiki back during this period? Like you said, in writing it, this was pretty much a male-dominated, not pretty much, it was a totally male-dominated business.
Oh, absolutely it was. My character, Kiki, is the only woman that actually ever went as far as she went. And she not only was in that world for almost 13 years, she rose to the very top. And that is why she was given the title, the legend. Because in that
yes.
world, of all men, she's a legend. Because she's the only woman.
Well, you know, that's an amazing story when you think about it. Could there have been a Kiki during that time period?
Only once.
Yeah.
That's, only once.
How did that come about? How did she get this power? How was she to be the only woman that ascended to this lofty position in the mob?
Well, I think the easiest way to... I'll always be asked that question. And the easiest way, I think the classic way to get to it is to answer by saying, she's a Gallo. That should say, that's enough. That's enough said.
Well, yeah. When you think back, okay, Gallo, mob, yeah, okay, I see the connection there now, and I maybe ran across that too quickly or maiden name as I was going through Kiki's name, but that really says a lot about it there. As you were writing this story, how long did it take you to write the story? And were there times when you thought, maybe I'm being too honest, maybe somebody's not going to like the story that I'm telling?
Well, to go back to decades ago, I actually got a blessing from a godfather to write this book at the appropriate time. Without that blessing, I know better. I would have never done it. But I did get the blessing, and of course, he's long gone, as is many of the people I knew back in the day, remembering that this takes place in the 70s, early 80s. But I did get the blessing with two stipulations. Number one, I had to wait a minimum of 25 years to write it. And that's pretty much would be standard in that world. They want to make sure that nobody, even though it's a work of fiction, that nobody could say, oh, I know who that is, or
yes.
I know that character. They want to make sure these people are either retired or gone. And the second stipulation, I could never write anything down, because if I ever did at that time, and if for any reason the law came sniffing around, that would be deemed as evidence right there.
Well, yes.
So, in other words, I couldn't keep a journal of any kind. With the people I met along the way, And like I say, in the big city, Jersey City being the second largest city in the state of New Jersey, back in the day, it had a very, very large Italian population, and especially in the neighborhood I lived in. And, you know, some of them did have mob ties. It's all over the place, you know, especially in the big cities. I'm sure it's alive and kicking to this day, and it's never going to go away, I'm sure. And so that's why I did it. I waited the appropriate, in fact, I waited way more than 25 years, because I was married and my husband was sick for 10 years with Alzheimer's. So after I recovered from his passing, that's when I picked up the pen. And enough years had gone by that I knew I wouldn't ruffle anybody's feathers,
yes.
because it is a work of fiction. But, you know, some of these people, they're always being watched. They think they are. And you want to make sure that nobody can say, I know who that person is, or
yes.
I knew that. You know, you have to be careful. So you can call it fiction all you want, but some people might recognize themselves. Or they think they can.
Well, yeah, maybe think they can, because they still are looking over their shoulders. How much of the character Kiki is based on you? Okay.
Well, because I say it's a work of fiction.
Okay.
I would have to say, None.
Okay, we will take that for the way it was intended, and you can read the story and watch it all unfold during this period here. I love the way you bring the characters to life, and we'll talk about character development because you're very strong. That's an area where you really stand out in making these people. I can see them as you're talking about them. They were larger than life. From the outside looking in and looking back now in reading Sugar Paper, were they larger than life during this period, the 70s and the 80s?
Oh, absolutely. And like I say, you can call it fiction, but I get it all. I hear it all the time. People would say, that's got to be you.
You know? Oh, yes.
But I stand by what I said. It's fiction. I love to bring characters to life. I started out as an English major. I always wanted to write one day. And I'm glad that I ultimately took the time, and it took a lot of research in that when I get into the sports, I had to research all of that because everything in there is accurate. I mean, the teams.
Oh, okay.
That kind of thing, that kind of stuff has to be accurate. You know, what's fictional, you can say whatever you want. But what are facts? They should be accurate. And I took a lot of time to make sure that it was.
It's a great read. The name of the book is Sugar Paper. The author is Tootsie Barron, Tootsie Barron, Barron. Her website, tootsiebarron.com. Book available, of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. It is a great read, highly recommended by so many people that have read the book, enjoyed it, and passed it on to others. And we'll have all this information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I mentioned before, your characters come to life. The scenes are quite vivid as you describe them. I understand you're working on a screenplay for this as well.
I have completed it. I'm just putting it up for sale now.
Fantastic.
I just started last week when my assistant comes in. It's a lot more difficult to get into the production companies than it is when you're sending out a log line to a publishing house. That can pass very quickly. But to go into these publishing houses, these production companies, is a lot more. They have a lot more steps. It's very time consuming. But if history has taught us anything, mob movies make all the money.
Well, they really do. I'm just thinking, you know, Goodfellas and the list goes on. These are just, of course, Godfather. I mean, these are movies that stand the test of time. I've seen some of those more times than I know the dialogue before the character even says it, and I still watch with enthusiasm. What was it like growing up in with Wise Guys? And you said that you did. What was that life like? Or maybe you didn't think it was any different because that's the life you lived and all your friends were living the same life.
Well, it certainly is exciting. You know, there's never a dull moment.
Oh, yes.
And they are basically exactly as they are portrayed in the good mobbed-up movies. They are like that. Particularly Goodfellas is a classic example of them. And the guys are like that. And they're very they live a very flamboyant life, a lot of nightlife. And that's exactly, you know, and that came at the right time when the nightclubs were bustling and there was a lot of activity. And, you know, I've been to just about everywhere in New York City, that including the Peppermint Lounge. You know, all the places that were high profile, the Wise Guys, they get in. They don't even have to wait online to get in.
And that's just like we see in the movies, and that's obviously the way it was in real life. And that world comes back in Sugar Paper. And if you're thinking, okay, where's the name of the title comes from? We really can't say, can we? That's a very important part and buried in the story. So you're going to have
probably get to that when I'm about halfway through the book, and that's when I reveal exactly what it is. That's why I chose that title for the book. I just thought it's more intriguing because nobody knows what, unless you're in that world, nobody would know what that is.
Well, yes, and you get there and you're thinking, okay, this all makes sense now. I understand why the title is what it is. It's Sugar Paper. Tootsie Barron, our guest on the program. Time going by so quickly, so much to talk about. In putting this story together, tell the listeners what all it involves. I mentioned that, you know, it's graphic, it gets raunchy from time to time, it's excitement, it's exhilarating, all of that. Briefly, the story, talk about Kiki, because she really is, it'll be a great television or movie character.
Well, she is, and that's why I am definitely going to try to sell the screenplay, because like the other mob movies before, I really think with the right people and the right cast, whoever they would cast, I only modeled one character after a movie star, and that was Uncle, and I modeled him after Dustin Hoffman, and of course I would have loved to have seen him play that part.
Oh yes, yes.
And I think, but I don't know, you know, if he does that kind of, you know, Uncle Kiki is not the main character, you know, she's a heroine, but Uncle yes. is the main character, and he's something, you know. I took a piece here and a piece there of some of the most influential men in my life. I put them all together and I made the character Uncle.
Well, I love
and
that.
And I love him. I think he's something.
Well, and he will come bursting off the screen. It comes bursting off the page if when you're reading Sugar Paper. And let's sort of talk about that. And then The Godfather comes in at the end. I don't want to give away too much here, but really has a revelation for Kiki at the end, doesn't she?
Oh, absolutely. Because he promised her and her father before him that they would tell her the whole story one day. And of course, when her father passes away as Uncle's best friend, it then that job went to him. And he always told her, someday I'm going to tell you. And the other thing I did with this book that I've never seen in any mob book is I put a cloaking device on the seven main characters, because by the end of the book, nobody is who you thought they were.
Well, exactly. That comes at the end, and I wasn't sure whether I should say that or not, but you think you understand, and then you go, whoops, I really didn't see that coming.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is, again, goes back to your storytelling. You pull us into the story. You keep it moving. You have these twists and turns as we go through. How much fun was this to write this book?
I loved it. And the other thing is this, I in no way, as a proud Italian American that I am, I in no way denigrated my people.
Exactly.
The story
yes.
is what it is. It's a work of fiction. There is that, there's always been that a part of the mob that was in that business. Big money is involved, but I never denigrated them. I would never do that. And there's some good guys and some bad guys, but that's everywhere. And I just got a kick out of when I started to write the book. I wasn't going to put a cloaking device on them, but as I went along, I thought it would be more fun, turn it more into a mystery. And that is why everything is revealed at the end. And that is why nobody is who you thought they were.
Well, and that's why you got to keep reading, because, like I say, just when you start formulating some thoughts here, okay, well, I think this is the case, you find out that you're wrong. And I want to talk about nicknames too. You got nicknames. I love these for everybody. How much fun was that, giving out nicknames to your characters?
Well, you know, I've been Tootsie for most of my life, my real name being Antonia, but so I always had a love for nicknames. I just love them. I could nickname anybody, and remember, I do talk about two real live people in the book, which has nothing to do with that world. One being Joe Namath, and I call them Broadway. Broadway Joe.
Broadway Joe.
And, of course, Frankie Valli is the other one I mentioned in the book as Newark's favorite son.
Yes. And
I stand by what I said about him because I've met many people from Newark. And, you know, they say stand up. And he paid the debt. Anybody I ever met in Newark or the surrounding area, Jersey City isn't that far, everybody tells the same story. He took the debt and he did pay it.
Well, that's an amazing story.
That's why he is, in my opinion, the most stand-up man in the state of New Jersey.
Well, in stand-up...
And, of course, Broadway Joe I met at a charity. I took the bid at a charity function. He was running for the survivors of the Parkland massacre, if you recall, down there in Florida.
Yep, a few years ago.
Not too many years ago. And he was having a golf charity event. And somehow I managed to take the bid. And I didn't think I would. I mean, my bid held up. And I actually went down there and I was his lunch guest. And I got to have my picture taken with him. He signed a football for me. That was a package deal for my donation.
Oh.
And he is just the nicest guy, I have to tell you. And don't forget, years ago, when Broadway was playing, I mean, he was the toast of New York.
Oh, yes.
He lived in New
yes.
York, played for the Jets, of course. He's a legend. And probably right behind Muhammad Ali, who has since passed away, Broadway Joe was probably one of the most recognizable faces on the planet, without a doubt.
Yeah, he was. It was a Bachelor's Three, his bar there, and the mink coat that he wore out. I mean, he was a major, major celebrity. So you bring them into the book. The book is filled with characters. I mean, it's such an excellent read. It's a great escape read. I'll warn you, you'll want to read more than you maybe want to before you start at night because you don't want to put it down. You end up reading a few more chapters before you put it down for the night. The book is Sugar Papy by Tootsie Barron. That's Tootsie, and Barron, Barron. Her website is tootsiebarron.com. We'll have all this information, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Tootsie, are you working? You're such a talented writer. Are you working on anything else?
Yes. Well, I have a children's book that's already out there. I Can See the Rainbow Bridge. I wrote the sequel to that, Will You Be There When I Call to You? That's going into production very soon. And I am completing my next novel, which is the complete opposite of Sugar Paper. It is called Into Foreverland. And that is a story of lifelong friendship and a beautiful love story. See, I don't want to stay in one genre. I want to mix it up.
Well, I can't wait to for the release of those, and hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about those as well. Tootsie, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. I really appreciate you coming on talking about Sugar Paper. The book is available wherever books are sold. I'll send you to Tootsie's website, tootsiebarron.com. All this information, of course, on our website. Hopefully a movie or a TV series coming up at some point. It has all the elements there that has hit written all over it. Tootsie, it's been fun. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
I enjoyed myself. You have been a total delight. And as I sign every book, I wish you all that heaven allows.
Well, I thank you very much. You're very kind, and I appreciate you coming on the program today and sharing this remarkable story, this excellent book, Sugar Paper. Tootsie Barron is the author and our guest. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.